Good to see all of your smiling faces this morning. It's been a good week with VBS happening. Glenn shared a little bit of a report of how the week went, because I've kind of been thinking about our service to God, and VBS was an opportunity for us as a chapel family to serve the Lord, to work together. I've also been thinking about, since this is the beginning of the last week of summer camp for Mountaintop, I've been thinking about all that has gone on this summer, how the Lord has worked at Mountaintop. By the end of this week, if everything goes according to plan, we'll have seen almost 700 campers come through Mountaintop throughout the course of the summer. 700 young people. Now, that's a great thing, but the spectacular thing about it is every single one of those 700 children heard the good news of the gospel. Not just once, but day after day after day. Because I can attest to the week that I was there for junior boys, our speaker, Michael Swink, never had a message that he did not at some point in time explain, touch on, emphasize, talk about salvation and how to get saved, how a young person can come to know the Lord. And so, I haven't heard how this past week went. Senior boys just ended yesterday. I don't know how the Lord was working. But I know from my week, I heard from senior teen, how that week went. The Lord really worked at senior teen, which is kind of different than the normal. Junior boys, 8 to 11-year-olds, have a tendency to respond more. They have less inhibitions. They have less concern about what their peers think of them. And they just respond. Teenagers, they're getting to be almost adults. We play things a little closer to the vest. We don't always, we're more doing this. Not so much just responding. But encouraging to see service happening to God. And so as I was thinking about how this summer has gone and how this week with VBS has gone, I was reminded of a passage that one of the counselors that helped with junior boys shared with us in our morning devotions for the staff. And he, Timothy chapter 1. So if you would, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 for a short passage. Verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. And then Paul breaks out into worship in verse 17. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's open it up. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this opportunity to look into your word, to be reminded of you, to be reminded of your truth, to be reminded of your Son, and help us to learn from your word, to be encouraged by it, to learn how we can serve you better as a result of our time spent in your word. I'd ask that you would guide and direct my thoughts, that you would help anything I say that is wrong or misguided to be forgotten, and that your word and your message would be remembered, and that it would have an impact upon all of our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in and also this week with VBS, how can we serve God? How can we do that? Well, I think it's interesting because the cabin leader that shared with us in devotions, his emphasis was on that first phrase, I thank him who has given me strength. And as some who have been at camp and worked in the cabins, there's a necessity, especially on Wednesday morning and Thursday morning and Friday morning, you need strength, supernatural strength. And what it is to need that supernatural strength. And God is the one who gives us the strength to serve Him. He calls us to service, and then He gives us what we need for the service. Paul says, I thank Him who has given me strength. And if you stop and think about it, we can serve short term. Like, for example, in a week of camp, you could serve for Monday and Tuesday maybe in your own strength. But when you've got campers that are up late at night, that won't go to sleep, that won't let you get a nap during rest period, by Wednesday, your strength is gone. Especially running up and down that mountain trying to keep up with them. And it's and still have an impact for the Lord in the hearts of these kids. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Paul gives credit where credit is due. Where is the credit due? The credit is due with the Lord because He's the one that gives the strength for the service. He also says about believers in Colossians chapter 1, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, not our power, God's power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. God must be our source of strength for service for Him for the long term. But then Paul continues and he says, in verse 12 again, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. God is extremely gracious that He would choose to use us, that He would appoint us to serve Him. Now, why does He do that? I don't know. Humanly speaking, it doesn't make sense. You're the God of the universe. You have unlimited resources, unlimited power. And you choose to use broken, weak, messed up, improper thinking, frail beings to accomplish your purposes. It doesn't make sense. It'd be like an NFL coach. They've started their training for the season down in Spartanburg, the Panthers have. It'd be like the coach of the Panthers going, okay, we've got our roster. I want the worst players you can find. Those are our starters. I mean, we're talking about guys that have broken legs. You know, we want receivers that maybe have both arms in a cast from a car accident. We want linemen that are pygmies. Okay? You know? We want the worst. It doesn't make sense. But that's what God has done. He has chosen the least to do His service. Paul says, He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Another example that I think of as a parent, as we are raising children, sometimes they want to help us with a project. Help us. It's a learning experience, okay? The parent learns lots of patience. The child may actually learn some useful skills. And the parent learns just how long it can take to do a simple project. But it's not about getting the project done efficiently. It's about the training of the child. And I think that's the same thing that God is working out in our lives. But then I want to focus on one word in his thing. Paul said, He judged me faithful. That's our part. We don't bring a whole lot to the table. But the thing we need to bring to the table is faithfulness. We don't have to be the best. We don't have to be the most talented. We don't have to be the most gifted. We don't have to have the greatest abilities. We just have to be faithful. Yesterday we celebrated my dad's 70th birthday party. Yesterday was actually his birthday. He turned 70, and we had a surprise party for him. And it was really neat to get to see him interacting with his friends. I think he really enjoyed himself. We enjoyed it. But towards the end of the time, my brother, his in-laws have a family tradition at birthday parties that they take a moment, gather everybody around, and let each individual who is in attendance share something that they learned from or appreciate about, in this case, the birthday boy, my dad. And it was interesting to go around and hear his peers talk about him, not just his family, because we all have different perspectives. But one of the things that came up from multiple people, family and friends, was his faithfulness to my mom, to the Lord, to us as a family, to his friends. And I thought, that's what Paul's talking about. That faithfulness. Was he the best? No. Trust me, I lived in his house. I know he was not perfect. I know he was not the perfect father. I know he was not the perfect husband. But he was faithful. He was there. And that is the same for us. We must be faithful. He's the one that appoints us to service. God is the one that chooses us. He judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. And then Paul continues in verse 13 and says, Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. Wait a minute, I thought Paul was a devout Jewish rabbi. But he continues, But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. So Paul says, I was all of these, but I didn't realize what I was doing. But notice, he doesn't say, because of that, I'm innocent. He says, but because I received mercy, because I acted in ignorance. And then verse 14, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me. Not that I'm innocent. I did wrong. I should not have been a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent person. But God was still merciful, still gracious, and still loving. Because in spite of that, he chose to use Paul. And I love the way he says it, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. We've had plenty of opportunities this summer, especially in the past week or two, to see thunderstorms, severe thunderstorms, pop-up thunderstorms, where it comes and dumps a half an inch of rain in like 10 minutes. And you get to see water overflowing. We had that happen up at camp during junior boys. We had a thunderstorm pop up one afternoon, and the water was flowing down the mountain. And let me tell you what, I don't care what you do, water is going to go downhill. You can try to slow it down, you can try to direct it, but when it gets going, it's going to go, and it's going to take all kinds of stuff with it. The mulch that people spent hours and hours beautifully spreading, right down the mountain. The game room became a swimming pool. We had standing water in the floor because it just rained so much. But that's the way God's grace and love and mercy impact our lives. It overflows us. And then Paul makes a claim that he was one of the worst of sinners. Stop and think about it, though. I know for I could say, Paul, you think you're the worst of sinners, but you don't know my heart. I'm the worst of sinners. And I think if we all have that perspective, we would all end up arguing about who was the worst. Because you don't know what's in my heart. You really don't know how bad I am. You know how bad you are. And so I would agree with Paul wholeheartedly. I am the worst of sinners. And yet God chooses to use us. Verse 15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul received that mercy in his life. We have received that mercy in our lives. We have the opportunity because of that to then serve God and share like we did in VBS, like has been going on in camp, like we should be doing as individuals in our day-to-day lives. We should be sharing God's love and His grace and His mercy with those we come in contact with. Why did Paul receive this type of mercy, even though he was of sinners, as he says? He received this grace and mercy for the same reason that we do, so that he could be a trophy of God's love and grace and mercy. That God can say, look at Paul. I have used him for my service. I have overflowed him with love and grace and mercy, and I have appointed him to my service. I have strengthened him for my service. Notice, all of the focus on that, even though there is a directional pointing at Paul, it's all about God. He's the one that gives the strength, gives the grace, that gives the mercy, that gave the salvation, that gave his son, so that Paul could be a trophy of God's love and grace and mercy. And then what should be our response to all of this that we've been talking about? What is our response to being able to be appointed, to be judged faithful and appointed to his service? Well, verse 17. And I like the ESV. It's the version that I use as my go-to. But I really love the way this is in the King James because that's the way I first heard it, the way it is just ingrained in my mind. Verse 17, Paul says, now, because he's gone through all of this, and I love the way Paul does this. This isn't the only place he does this, but that he gets to a point where he's talking about, a lot of times it's God's great salvation or how great God is, and then he just can't contain himself, and he just bursts forth into worship. And he does that in 17. And I love the way the King James translates it. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's going along and he's handing out truth, and then he just goes, all right, I can't stand it anymore. And he writes that verse. And then you look at to giving instruction. But it's just, see the impact of what is going through Paul's mind. He can't contain it any longer. The King eternal, immortal. And so I think when we take the time to do what Paul did, and we consider our great salvation and what we've been given and the opportunity that we've been given even just to serve Him, we can realize that rendering that service is only possible, again, because of what He has given us, the strength, the mercy, the grace. And we recognize how wonderful it is that He has chosen us to this service. We can't but help and follow Paul's example and break forth in worship. And so as we close, my encouragement is that we would be constantly reminded, as we do on a weekly basis, of how great our salvation is, how great God's love and mercy and grace is to us, that it has overflowed us, and that He has chosen us in spite of the fact that we are the worst of sinners, for His service. And then we need to strive to be faithful, so that when He looks at us, He goes, yes, well done, my good and faithful servant. We play a small part, faithful. But we know that He is faithful and will give us the love and the mercy and the grace and the strength to serve Him as He truly deserves. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before You. We thank You again for an opportunity we've had to dive into Your Word. Thank You for this great salvation You have chosen. Love and grace and mercy. Overflow with Your love and mercy and grace to those around us. That they wouldn't see us, but they would see You in us and through us. We're thankful for the fact that keep all of Your promises. And so we ask that You would give us Your strength to serve You well. That at the end we would hear those wonderful words, well done, good and faithful servant, and that we will be able to see a smile on Your face as we enter into Your presence. We give You honor and praise and glory. In Jesus' name.